resistant amongst us are swept into kind of an unexpected delight, and the atmosphere on the bus ride home is completely different. And as Pete said, we're in this series of looking at spiritual practices that invite us into God's presence. This practice of coming into God's presence is the best invitation that we'll ever receive, even better than, you know, my invitation with the Prime Minister. Tim Keller, he calls spiritual practices grace practices. There's a special grace that comes upon us when we intentionally spend time with God. Now, Pete talked about, you can change that off now. Pete talked about prayer last week. I know a lot of us were away. You can catch up on that on the church website under sermon archives. It was a good sermon. I recommend you have a listen. Today, we're looking at the spiritual practice of meditation with God in His Word. We've been created for meditation, for deep thought, for intimacy with God, for inner formation that happens as we encounter God in His Word. And the invitation for us today is to come away with God and spend time with Him in His Word. But for all kinds of reasons, and we know that this happens in our own lives, we resist the invitation to meditate in God's Word. A bit like the guys on the bus going to the Prime Minister, we might see being in the Word as the dutiful, kind of dry work part of Christian life. Doesn't sound that appealing sometimes. Or maybe we have resistance just to the whole concept of meditation as I speak that word out, because we associate it with New Age practices or Middle Eastern spiritual practices where we empty the mind to open ourselves up to other beings or forces. But meditation is a practice that we as Christians need to reclaim. It's God's design. It was His idea from the beginning to bless us as we fill our hearts and minds with Him. But there's a more insidious resistance to meditation in our times. And Christian authors have been sounding the alarm for a while that we as Christian people are losing the skill of quiet, slow, thoughtful meditation with God in His Scriptures. And this is eroding our spiritual depth and our well-being as God's people. And we're missing the blessing and the delight of being with God in His Word. Some recent research that I was reading in a book lately warns that we are being swept along with the culture of our times. See if this resonates with you. Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, constant noise, distraction, and information overload, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, noise, distraction, and overload. So we end up as good people, but as people who are not very deep. Not bad, just busy. Not immoral, just distracted. Not lacking in soul, just preoccupied. Not disdaining depth, just never doing the things to get us there. Do you ever feel that inner uneasiness that there's a way of life richer and deeper than your current experience? I'm going to suggest that that's the Holy Spirit calling you and me to come away and spend time with Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, the Scriptures talk about deep calling to deep. This is our longing for God and God's longing for us. The psalmists really know how to express this longing. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for you. And another psalm, come and talk with me, says God. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. The practice of meditation, it meets us in these deepest soul longings that exist for all of us. And there's promise and there's blessing for the one who makes meditation with God in his word a rhythm in their life. We're going to open up to Psalm 1. This is a significant psalm because it sets up the entire prayer book of the Psalms. We land in it a few times throughout each year because it is significant. It's one that we have to take note of. So let's open to Psalm 1. Read along with me. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1 sets the tone. It starts with this promise. The one who meditates, who attends to God's presence in the Word, is a person of substance, not shallow. Is a person of stability, not tossed around. Is a person of wisdom, not foolishness. Is one who lives in the Lord's ways, not an aimless life. Is a life that is fruitful and eternal, not meaningless and temporary. And through the next 149 Psalms, the psalmists write about every single life experience that we could possibly imagine. They talk about grief and joy and victory and loss and disappointment and sin and betrayal. And the one who meditates in the Word is blessed and marked by God's presence through it all. The one who meditates is pictured in this psalm as a tree planted near a stream. This tree in this psalm is intentionally positioned, so its roots are always drawing water from the stream. It's not dependent on the conditions around it for its well-being. The promise in this first psalm is the presence of God in the Word with you in every moment of life. This is what this psalm is not promising. It's not saying, meditate, put in good practices, and you'll be rewarded with an easy life. You know, spiritual practices are never about earning from God or trying to twist his arm by doing the right thing to get something from him. Spiritual practices are always about his presence, about relationship, about intimacy with God. So, when conditions are green and lush, when we're winning at life, everything's going along fine, the one who meditates draws from God's presence in the Word. And when conditions are dry and barren and hard, life goes pear-shaped, we get derailed, the one who meditates with God in the Word is drawing from his presence. The tree planted near the stream can weather all conditions because it's planted by the source of water and its roots are going deep. The one who meditates in the Word of God is drawing always from the source of life, the source of peace, the source of hope, wisdom, comfort, joy, drawing from the living God. There's promise in this first psalm, and there's also warning that we must take note of. When we live without Jesus or try to live off just a shallow connection with Jesus, without time with him, without his word in our heart, the psalmist doesn't hold back with the warning. He says we'll be like chaff, a very different picture to a tree planted. Chaff is the husk around the kernel of grain. It has no life or weightiness. It just flakes off the kernel in the wind. It's a confronting picture of a life with no real substance, with no depth or truth. And the chaffy way of life gets tossed around by circumstances, by conditions, by emotions, by people, by the culture, by the atmosphere of the world around us. a chaffy life just kind of gets tossed by it all. A chaffy life is seeking for all the things that our hearts long for meaning, for significance, for love, but disconnected from the true source of all these things. This very first psalm says, be like the tree. Be like the tree, planted by the stream, drawing from the source of life. The practice of meditation is intentionally positioning ourselves in the source of life, in the Word of God. It's a discipline. Meditation is the discipline of pressing pause on the noise, on the hurry, on the quick grab kind of pace of the day that we live in, and settling in with God's presence in His Word. It's like an act of resistance in a way to the chaffy things that we're all getting sucked into all the time. Well, I get sucked into it anyway. This is an act of resistance. The one who meditates in the Word drinks deeply of God's love, lives more and more as a dearly loved person, is guided by truth and wisdom, is maturing and forming into the likeness of Jesus as those roots get deeper and deeper, produces good fruit in those valley hard seasons as well as on the mountaintop experiences. The one who meditates increasingly experiences delight and intimacy with Father, Son, and Spirit. And the one who meditates becomes a refreshing shade in a world that is like dry chaff. The other day I was having a blood test and I was really just trying to distract myself from the process. So I say to the lady, how's your day going? And literally within the time it took her to take 3 vials of blood, she tells me about her whole life. That was a lot of blood, wasn't it? She tells me all about her life. Her recent cancer journey, her sister's just been diagnosed with bone cancer. She said the family's full of sadness. She's like, we don't quite know how we're going to make it through. And then she stops and says, is there some reason why I'm telling you all of these things? And so I just said, well, maybe it's my opportunity to tell you that Jesus loves you, that in my experience, Jesus is the only one who is going to be able to hold your hand and journey through all these hard things with you. You know, when you meditate in the Word of God, when you are encountering God's presence in the Word of God, you become a carrier of His Word and His presence everywhere you go. What a beautiful thing it is to be shade for someone who's living in the dry, chaffy, I don't know how to deal with life world. Without this, without the Word, without His presence, all we have to offer the brokenness around us is kind of more chaffy-like sentiment that kind of is nice, but it's just weightless, you know. There's blessing and there's promise commanded over the one who meditates. I love how the Message puts this. It says, you thrill in God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden. I just loved that image. Replanted in Eden in this chaffy world. What a beautiful thing to be. I'm going to say that I think meditation is an essential practice for God's people. If we're going to grow in intimacy with Father, Son, and Spirit, we have to spend time in His Word. Life change happens in us when His truth and His love are integrated into our inner being. And this happens as we encounter and attend to God in His Word. That's when His kingdom comes in us, when it's integrated, His love and His truth into our hearts. If it's not integrated, it's just knowledge and it just floats away. This is kingdom come. Integration of the Word into our inner being. So let's reflect honestly. This is not for guilt as we reflect honestly on this. This is for our well-being. So I'm going to ask you to reflect, what place does meditation have in your life? When do you come away and spend time with God in His Word? Not for guilt. for our well-being. Sometimes we don't know where to start with a practice like meditation. I've just been at the Soul Care Conference the last 3 days, and I was with a lady who's been a Christian her whole life. She's my age, and she said, "I don't know how to be still with God in His Word." So let's understand some more about meditation. Meditation is about presence before it's about anything else. Still, quiet, undistracted, unhurried, unplugged time with Father, Son, and Spirit in the Word without any real agenda other than being in His presence. That's meditation. The key here is intention. The psalmist talks about meditating day and night. I think what he's asking us to do there is he's calling us into the intentional practice of meditation as a rhythm in our lives, whatever that looks for us. Meditation is a little bit different to listening to a podcast or reading a Christian book, or grabbing just a quick devotional thought as you run to the next thing, or doing a Bible study in a connect group, or even sitting here in church. Meditation is more about you and God in the Word, without agenda, attending to one another's presence. So what time can you create for this in your life? You know, we have to give Jesus time. Like any of our significant relationships, intimacy takes time. Many of us were at State Youth Games last weekend, and we heard Matt just speak such an encouraging word to us Saturday night. And at the Soul Care Conference these last 3 days, we heard a similar kingdom principle that all worship requires sacrifice. You remember Matt saying that to you guys? All worship requires sacrifice. If we're not willing to sacrifice, we won't move beyond the level of where we are now with Jesus. It's just a kingdom principle. So what sacrifice can you make to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus? Can I tell you He's worth it? Whatever sacrifice of time you make to spend time with Jesus, you will never regret it. Never regret it. So we create meditation time. Think about how that can be a part of your life. And, you know, there's practical things that are helpful to consider when we're establishing a rhythm of these spiritual practices in our lives. So do you have a place where you can come away and just be still, be quiet, unplug? You know, is there a favourite chair? Is it the garden? Is it in your car as you're driving? Is it in the wardrobe? Remember that the war room, you know, the wardrobe became the place. It's a thing. You know, the beauty of meditation is that common places become sacred ground when it's you and God meeting in His Word. Where's your place where you can come away and be with God? How about engaging in the Word? How are we going to do that? What's going to work for you? I've decided that, you know, in doing this sermon and reflecting on my own practices, I've decided I've got to go back to a paper Bible because I'm getting too distracted on my phone. I sit down, I have good intention, the next minute I'm on Facebook, then I'm on Messenger, and then I go, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, Lord, I haven't attended to Your presence at all. So I'm going off the phone, getting back the paper Bible. Maybe you'd like to consider unplugging as well as an act of resistance to all the time we spend on our devices. You know, there's a lot of chaffy stuff that comes along my way. Meditation is attending to God. I've had many seasons in my journey when I have felt like being in the Word was too hard. I have resisted. When I was a young adult, that was one of my hard seasons. I resisted the Word of God. I had one season in my life where I was listening to other people so passionate about the Word, and I was like, I want what they've got. So I went and bought the translation they were reading at the time. I went to Coorong, and I tell you what, just that new translation, I fell in love with the gospel stories and I fell in love with Jesus afresh. You know, it's good to refresh and reimagine our spiritual practices. Our time with God is meant to be a delight. That's what this psalm says. Those who delight in the law of the Lord. If we're stuck in stale, dry, religious practices. We have to refresh and reimagine our practices. You know, the Pharisees, they were stuck in religious practices and they had no heart and life transformation in doing the things they did. Are your practices blessing your life? Are they blessing your life? It's a question you have to ask. Here's some personal indicators. I've talked about these before, but we have to keep coming back and going, are our practices blessing us, Lord? Are you growing in love with Jesus? Are you growing in love with his word? Are you craving your time with him? Your practices are working for you. Are you growing in love for others? Is your heart expanding in kind of miraculous ways with mercy and grace and compassion? Are you slowly becoming more and more like Jesus? Your practices are working for you. Are you living as a dearly loved person as you go about your life and interact in all your relationships? Are you growing in freedom? Are you experiencing more love, joy, peace? This is the fruit of the Spirit that we encounter as we engage with God in his word. You know, Jesus keeps things pretty simple. He doesn't make it hard. He says, everything comes down to these two things, love God and love others. This is what increases when our practices are blessing our life. If this is not our experience, then it's time to refresh and reimagine our time with God in the word. There are so many ways that we can meditate with God in his word. There's no right or wrong way. I had a chat with someone this morning, an older man who described himself as neurodivergent. He said, it's really hard for me to concentrate, to sit still, to read. And he said, sometimes I feel really guilty that I can't meditate in the way that the church often tells us to meditate. But he said, I've just talked to God about this and he's helped me to find creative ways to meet with him. This is what I do know for sure about meditation. God will meet you in the pages of Scripture, whatever that looks like for you, if you create space to be present with him. God will meet with you. Rob Reimer, I've just been at Soul Care. You've heard me say this before. He says, every time you pick up the Bible, you are one Holy Spirit breath away from a fresh encounter with the living God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can you imagine if we all believe that? If I believed that, I would be in my word so much more. Imagine coming to the word, anticipating that the living God is going to meet with you in the pages. That's the truth. That's what happens. Try it out. It's phenomenal. Lectio Divina is an ancient meditation practice that saints throughout the centuries have been using to engage the word in this way. It was only last year that I talked about this particular spiritual practice with us, but I have found it encouraging to my heart to revisit this again. If it's being practiced throughout centuries, it's okay to talk about it again. So I offer this today as one expression. Just hear that. It's just one expression of a way that we can meditate with God in the Word. This might help you with your rhythm if you're not sure how to get started. Lectio Divina, it just follows four loose stages to just help us enjoy our time with God. Reading, meditation, prayer, contemplation. Just a loose guide. Reading. Meditation is a slow, reflective reading through Scripture. I like to settle into one book and just read through it slowly over time. Lectio Divina is rooted in the belief that the Holy Spirit brings deep inner formation as the Word comes alive in us. You know, remember, every time we open up the Word of God, we're one Holy Spirit encounter away from a fresh encounter with the living God. So meditation is reading for relationship first and foremost. It's anticipating God in the pages of Scripture. So don't rush the reading. Settle into a small selection of verses. If you've chosen one of the letters or a gospel story or the Psalms, just settle into a small selection of verses in any one time. And just repeat it in your mind. Read it over again. Maybe open up a different translation and read it in that and just get a broader experience of what the verses are saying. And then just wait for God to set the agenda. I'm here, Lord. What do you want to talk about with me today? Then meditation. You know, something powerful happens when we are willing to pay attention to our internal dynamics as we're reading scripture. So what's coming into your awareness as you're reading these verses? Is there a word or a phrase that's grabbing your attention? Just stop on that. You don't have to jump to the next thing. Is something stirring within you, like an emotion or a memory or a circumstance or a person or a conviction? Just give this some space. Let it just exist. What are you thinking and feeling about this scripture? Is there a wrestle? Is there a concern? Is there a pushback? Is there a challenge? Is there some hope in there? Is there a promise? You know, in these moments when something's getting our attention, God is coming close to you. He's coming close. Have conversation with Father, Son, and Spirit as you read. What do you want me to receive in this moment, Lord? How does this connect with my life circumstances and relationships and the things that I'm experiencing right now? You know, I had a moment like this with Jesus just in January that I'm never going to forget. I was going through a bit of a tricky patch. We had some hard circumstances going on. And I was just reading one of the gospel stories where Jesus speaks a word over someone's life, and it is so. And this just stops me in my tracks. And I just stop and go, oh my goodness, Jesus, this is the word I want. And I just talk to him about it. I say, is this for me? Can I have this word over this circumstance that I'm in the midst of? Can I have it, Lord? If it's not for me, just let me know and I'll just move on. And the strong sense that I got from Jesus in this moment is, yes, this is for you. That's why I've brought you to this story today. I am making this same declaration over that circumstance. And you know, that time in scripture was an absolute game changer for me this year. Something that I had feared for quite a long time became a hope. It was a defining moment with Jesus in the pages. I would have missed it if I hadn't been with him there that morning. You know, when these things happen in scripture, this is the word moving from our heads into our hearts, integrating into our lives. This is what meditation is. Moving into our whole lives. Then prayer. Meditation is always prayerful. As we're in the Word, God's talking to us, we're talking to God. So just lift up prayers as they come into your mind, as you're reading. Sometimes we'll be overwhelmed with thanksgiving and praise. Just tell Him. Just stop and be overwhelmed by Jesus. Other times we'll be led into confession and repentance. You know, as I was meditating on Psalm 1 this week, I felt the chaffy life. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the chaffy things that I get caught up into. I want to be the tree. Make me the tree, Lord. Help me be the tree. That, you know, that's a repentance. Whatever stirs in you, just turn it into prayer. As people and circumstances come into your mind, just lift them up. In meditation, God is setting the agenda and we are just responding to Him with our hearts and our lives. Then contemplation. Rest in what you've experienced. If you can linger for a bit, linger. If you don't have to rush off into the next thing, don't. You know, the living God has just met with you. You know, you might consider journaling if that's what you do. I don't journal in those moments. That's when I grab my phone out, just write a quick note, the scripture, hope. And then I just let that be my reminder. You know, don't rush on. See if you can linger. Then resolve to carry whatever it is that you've experienced. The thought, the word, the promise, the verse, the impression. Resolve to carry it with you as you go throughout that day. Let it repeat and reinforce in your heart and mind. Go back to that. Let it form in you. You know, these moments that we have with God in His Word, they form our redemptive journey. You know, they change us. They're very powerful. They're very precious. They increase our faith in the living God. They increase our desire to be in relationship and to be in His Word. That's a loose guide. as you think about how you might meditate in the Word. Reading, contemplation, prayer, meditation. Meditation is a spiritual practice. We have to think about that word practice. You know, like any practice, we strengthen as we keep going. I know a lot of you guys, you like going to the gym. Muscles take time. You know, they're a slow growing thing. Tree roots go deeper over time. It's a practice. So what I'm going to encourage you to do and consider today is meditate as you can. Just meditate as you can. The lady at the Soul Care Conference, she's decided that this week she's just going to sit with her Bible and Jesus for 15 minutes, the time it takes her to drink a cup of tea. She's just going to meditate as she can. Start as you can and trust that the practice of meditation that centuries worth of saints have practiced throughout the centuries might find a place in your life too. You know, Jesus was always taking himself away to quiet places to be with his Father. Everything that Jesus did and said was an outworking of his meditation time with his Father. And as you keep going, as I keep going, intentionally sacrificing time to be with God, one day you might just realize that somewhere along the way, meditation has become your lifeline. It's become an essential. It's become the delight of your life. Do you remember when Jesus meets the woman at the well? She's tried to fill those deep soul longings with all kinds of things, just chaffy things. But Jesus is waiting for her at the well. And he says to her, "I am the living water. Whoever drinks from me will never be thirsty again." That's meditation. The living water, Jesus. Some of us are trying to live off empty. I've been there. I do that. We're trying to live off empty. But Jesus is waiting for us in the scriptures, however that looks in your life, whatever rhythm you choose to create in your life. Jesus is waiting to meet with you in the scriptures. And I would just say, please, family, don't miss the most significant invitation that you will ever receive in your life, to spend time with Jesus in his Word. Let me speak words of declaration over your life. If you're willing to receive it, then just say amen to it in your heart and receive it. Let me speak these words over your life. Blessed are you. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. You meditate on his law day and night. You are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose life does not wither. Whatever you do will prosper in Jesus' name. And I'm just going to say, let it be so over your life and mine, over our church here at Encounter. Amen. Thanks, worship team.